Hi, my name is Tate, and I'm in grade 7, and today I'm going to be reading John 13, verse 1 to 17. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them."
Hi, folks. My name's Luke. I'm on our pastoral team. I'll be sharing the sermon today. A special thanks to Tate for reading our scripture today. She just read Jesus washing his disciples' feet that we hear in the Gospel of John, and only in the Gospel of John. Last week, Rebecca shared about the story, and this week, I'll be sharing as we move closer to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. I've only ever had my feet washed by somebody else once. I was 23 years old, and I had just become a pastor. And so, of course, I already knew an awful lot about what it meant to be a pastor. Surprisingly, I think that I know a little less now than I did back then. One Sunday, our then lead pastor, Doug, was giving a sermon called Jesus the Servant. And partway through, he surprised our youth pastor, Brett, and me by inviting us to the front and asking if he could wash our feet. Because we were fresh to pastoral work, Doug imprinted on us that day what we should never forget: that being a pastor is not meant to be glamorous, but is usually awkward, ordinary, even smelly work. And that life in this vocation couldn't be anything other than humble service, or else we'd be doing it wrong. As he pulled off our socks, I remember Doug saying to everyone by his actions, those who were listening, he was saying, "This is the way that Jesus does things. This is the way that we must do things in this community. This is how these two young men, if they want to be your pastors, will need to learn how to do things." It was honest. It was brave. It risked misunderstanding. And it changed me forever. Because Doug embodied that humble attitude every day that I worked with him for a decade. By his example, he convinced me that God is patient and others-oriented. And if I wanted to follow Jesus, then my life would have to look that way as well. And I've been failing ever since. Jesus' disciples must have felt similarly after he washed their feet. They had lived and worked with Jesus for years and knew him better than anyone. But in their final hours together, he still surprised them by washing their feet, Jesus dramatically summed up who he was to the core and who he imagined that they could be too. Those disciples and the church that was born through them has also been failing ever since. But we keep going. We keep learning to stoop and to serve because Jesus told us that we were probably going to fail, but to trust that he would make up the difference. Last week, Rebecca told us that the foot washing scene in John's gospel did a number of things. It demonstrated radical love, it revealed God, and it redefined greatness. And redefining greatness is something that I'd like to spend a little bit more time on today. Because Rebecca also told us that the foot washing scene that we have in John is not just about revelation, but about transformation. As many have said, God loves us enough to take us as we are, but too much to leave us as we are. This is Holy Week, as Kirsten already told us at the beginning of the service. And this is the week that we remember Jesus rode to the cross. It's the week that we celebrate his resurrection at Easter. This week means everything for Christians. And without this week, we don't have a faith. We just have a bunch of nice ideas that are powerless, just like a self-help book is in many ways powerless. But this week is about real power. It's about how God used his power to change things forever, and about how we can discover true godly power ourselves. John writes this: Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. Set in its time and culture, you would be hard-pressed to find a more baffling or strange scene in Scripture. It doesn't seem that anyone in the historical record had done this kind of thing before, Jewish or otherwise, and it could go down as the weirdest thing that Jesus ever did. This wasn't the work of prophets or great teachers as Jesus was. This was the work of servants and slaves. And it was the work of servants and slaves who were on the bottom rung of the ladder, for that matter. There's really no modern day equivalent for foot washing in the West. It's menial and forgettable work as we look at it in antiquity. It was something that happened to you so you could get on with something else. You didn't strike up conversations with servants or offer them a tip during a foot washing. It went without saying that having your feet washed meant that you were more important and more powerful than the person who was washing your feet. More important and more powerful than that servant. In the ancient world, servants weren't even considered persons. So that gives you some context of what Jesus was doing in that moment. So obviously, no monarch, no political figure ever washed feet other than Jesus. A chore like this wasn't only unthinkable in the sense that it was detestable, but to an ancient person with even a shred of influence, it was something so obviously below them that it wouldn't have even crossed their mind to do. And yet, here is Jesus, not only this great teacher and prophet that many people revere, but according to John, here is Jesus, Israel's God in the flesh. Here's Jesus, dressed to the nines in heavenly power, as John has just told us, full to the brim, with authority over the universe. And here's Jesus stripping himself down to do the unthinkable. Jesus takes his disciples' delusions about power and relation, and he turns them on their heads. For us, part of hearing this story is recognizing that humility has become somewhat normalized for us today. We expect humility from great people. We expect great people to be humble and to help. And when they don't, we actually think less of them. But great people in Jesus' time weren't expected to be like that. They were expected to show off and to show off their wealth, their power, their status, and to push other people around in a demonstration of those things. We'd like to think that we've evolved, of course, that the impressive amongst us don't grandstand or mistreat people anymore. But we know that that's not true. So part of hearing this story is really to first notice as best we can, and it's hard to, but to first notice how wrong and strange this moment seems, still to us today, and then to ask ourselves how we think real power should work in the first place. How evolved are we, really? Do you want to be powerful and great? Asks Jesus. Real power must look different among you, different than it looks outside this room. Embrace this way of power and watch the world change, one foot at a time. The trouble is, Jesus' disciples only half believed him, just like we only half believe Jesus now. We tend to delude ourselves, don't we? We dream up grand designs about how we're going to change the world. We convince ourselves that power has to look commanding or swift or sparkly. We correspond with lightning speed. We microwave food. We try to gain an online following overnight. We aim at influence that is big and bold and convinced that under us, the world will bend for the better. So we give others less of our attention and more of our opinion. We design quick fixes. We obsess over strategy rather than cultivating hospitality. We fantasize about trading those around us for smarter, cooler, more effective people. We stop attending to one another, and we ignore obvious needs. We build pyramids of sand as testaments to our greatness, preoccupied with our glossy legacies. We daydream about there and then, neglecting the right here and now. And then we remember about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And we're soberingly pulled back from our delusions back to the simplicity of his example. And in that moment, we are closer to truth and power and greatness and God than we realize. The foot washing scene always brings us down a peg or two. As I said, it draws us out from delusion and into the truth. The truth about God, the truth about ourselves. Recently, our friend Rick pointed out to Rebecca and I in a discussion that Jesus didn't wash everybody's feet, just his disciples' feet, and only that one time on Passover, the night before he died. And that's not to say that God isn't willing to wash everyone's feet, but just to say that Jesus only did it here at this very special moment. Jesus only did this amongst his closest disciples and said, "You are the people that need to do things differently because of me." And hearing that, I couldn't help but think of Jesus' story about how his kingdom is like a tiny mustard seed which starts small and then grows big. I thought about how often I assume that changing the world will happen out there and then, rather than in here and right now. And that's the delusion that Jesus washes away with a towel and some water. It'd be tempting sometimes to romanticize about loving people out there and then, rather than actually serving one another in here right now. It's easy to love someone I don't know. Much, much harder to love someone that I don't. Easy to love someone, let me correct myself there, to love someone I don't know. Much harder to love someone I do know. Maybe there's something of a Freudian slip in that moment from me even. It's easy to gain a following. It's harder to stay faithful. Jesus didn't tell his disciples that people will know that they have been with him because of how they loved those out there one day in their grand designs, but how they loved each other in here right now. Jesus plants seeds and trusts that they will grow. As John says later in a letter to a young church, John says, "We're all just little children." How will little children use their power in the messy Christian circles that we find ourselves in, where we don't agree about most everything? We can make all the social media statements that we like. We can listen to all the engaging podcasts about how things need to change in the world and how we can bring that change. But Jesus said that change always starts here and now. And if we can't love each other one foot at a time, we'll never get anywhere. Thankfully, Jesus gives us himself, his spirit. He gives us his example in this moment, and he washes the feet of those that he knows best and who knows him the best, and says it's possible to love even when things aren't easy, clean cut, sorted out, or perfect. As Rebecca mentioned last week, Jesus washes Judas' feet, who's stepping away lightly to betray him. Jesus washes Peter's feet, who will soon be stomping assertively and denying him. Jesus washes all the feet that will run from him, abandoning him in a few short hours. Jesus starts with here and now. He plants little seeds and trusts that they will grow. Because love is patient and love is kind. Kirsten said something a few weeks ago that really stuck with me. She said, "Grace is not just what gets me into the kingdom of God, but something that needs to get into me." This week, Holy Week, is about grace getting into us. It's about seeing Jesus clearly and then being deeply changed. It's about revelation and transformation. We see Jesus washing feet, and we need that attitude to get into us. We see Jesus praying in agony in the garden, and we need that trust to get into us. We hear Jesus forgive his torturers, and we need that mercy to get into us. So the invitation this Holy Week is to let Jesus find a way in and to discover more about real power and real change. How do we do that? Well, it's painfully simple. First, we ask for the Holy Spirit. We ask for Jesus' Spirit to refresh us and change us and to slowly move in and shape us so that we can demonstrate his character in any given moment. And then we try it out. We actually try on this new way of holding and wielding power, which is a way of humility and service. We just get on trying it. We follow Jesus' example. We do what he says, just one foot at a time. So we do dishes, or we change diapers, or we ask the question that we know is going to take more time to listen to the answer about than we think that we actually have. We attend to each other by putting the phone or the screen to one side and looking each other in the eye and risk saying first, I love you. I'm here. I'm present. We give others a chance to get to know us and us to get to know them by actually turning up in Christian community. We stick with one another, especially when it's hard. Real power isn't glamorous. It's often dull and ego-killing, and it can sometimes even feel like crucifixion. But it's the only way that Jesus goes. It's the only way that we can be his family. Of course, we're going to fail, but he's going to make up the difference, isn't he? I once heard another sermon about this foot washing scene in John, and it was called Two Bowls of Water. The priest said that we hear about two bowls of water in the Gospels around the time of Jesus' death. The first is the bowl of water which Jesus uses to wash his disciples' feet, committing to them in love. The second is the bowl of water which Pontius Pilate used to wash his hands of Jesus, committing him to death. In any given moment, we have two options, said the preacher. We can choose to wash our hands of one another, or we can choose to wash one another's feet. Jesus made his choice. Pilate made his choice. And now it's over to us. So welcome. Welcome to Holy Week, a week that means everything. During this week, may you feel genuinely Jesus' love and service to you when you think of him washing feet or praying in a garden or struggling for breath on a cross. And may you love and serve those around you one foot at a time as only you can. And when you inevitably fail, and we all will, may you also remember on Easter Sunday that Jesus has made up the difference. And then ask him to pour you another bowl of water and to hand you another fresh towel.